"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Making news this afternoon is a report that I guess was an exclusive originally from TMZ that Elvis Presley's daughter, Lisa Marie Presley, had to be rushed to the hospital and was in the intensive care unit, supposedly went into full cardiac arrest this morning. A housekeeper found her unresponsive, and the word is now that she is on some sort of life support and in a coma. She's apparently in her 50s. Been married 4 times. She was married, in case you forgot, to Michael Jackson, Nicolas Cage. We now turn to the appearance in court today of Brian Koberger. This was in Moscow, Idaho. He, of course, is standing charges for murdering the 4 college students at the University of Idaho, and apparently showed up with some scratches on his face. Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, is covering this story and can give us more. Alex?
Hey there, Ken. Yeah, it seems like maybe the cheap jail razors are not cooperating with him. That, you know, they give you the cheapo manual ones. It's not an electric brawn that he's using inside jail, and didn't go so well earlier today. So, yeah, we know this trial's not going to be quick. He walked in today, orange jail, T-shirt on, orange pants, hair looked like it was 8 a.m., that he had just taken a shower, hair slicked back, but he had these bloody cuts all over his face, and the indicators we're getting that he cut himself while shaving this morning. Did look like he was clean shaven. It was a very close shave, but maybe a little bit too close, and so now he was dealing with that. He's in a cell all by himself, so it's not like he got beat up, but came in, sat down. The hearing was really quick. It got going, sounded like this.
This is State of Idaho versus Brian Koberger. Mr. Koberger is in custody.
And the one matter of business that they wanted to get right to was when are they going to have a preliminary hearing, a probable cause hearing, which is going to be like a mini trial. Witnesses will be called. Evidence will be put out there to prove to the judge that there is enough evidence that they've got the right guy, maybe, to then go to trial, and that the Koberger is a potential suspect in this case, that he could be guilty of the crime. And his public defender said, look, we know in Idaho he has a right to have a prelim within 14 days. We don't want that within 14 days. He is going to waive that. And you know what? Let's do it midsummer. What do you say? And then she put this out there.
We are going to ask the court to set preliminary hearing out into June. We would request the third or fourth week of June.
Third or fourth week of June. And they said they think the preliminary hearing going to go about 4 or 5 days to call the witnesses. Prosecutors said, well, if we're going to go that far out, July would work better for us. And the judge said, well, let's try for late June. We'll figure it out as we get closer. She had to confirm with Koberger, though, he's okay waiting that long and waiving his right to having a prelim within 14 days.
If you waive your right to a speedy preliminary hearing, it does not mean that you're giving up your right to have a preliminary hearing. It simply means that you would not be able to come back and challenge that the state did not present probable cause within 14 days. Do you understand?
Yes.
And so they agreed, Ken, prelim beginning June 26th. He will be remanded into jail without a chance for posting bail until then. Likely at some point they will set a hearing date for him to enter a plea. It would seem that it is going to be not guilty, being that he is going down the road of having a preliminary hearing and then a trial, and that they're not just throwing that out. An attorney said that they need more time to look at the evidence, analyze it, go through discovery. But there is clearly a tactical reason here that in Idaho, this case has been everywhere. Everybody knows about it. There's a lot of passion about it. People know every detail of what went on. That the longer, and we've seen it in Scott Peterson and in Michael Jackson, I mean, all of the big trials, that when a lot of people know about it, the tactic is to bump it out later and later, so people forget about details. The passion goes away, even if they change the venue to, say, Boise or somewhere else, that people begin to not be as personally connected to it and have that personal anger about it. And it typically would work to the benefit of the defendant, and seems like that's what the public defender is doing here.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't even ask to move the trial to some other place.
We haven't gotten that far yet. They need to know there is going to be a trial, because at least procedurally, they could get to the preliminary hearing and the judge could say, you know what, the prosecutor didn't put on enough evidence, there is no probable cause to move forward, and he goes free and it's over and police go look for somebody else. So that'll come up once the judge, and I mean 99.99% chance the judge is going to say there's DNA, there's the cell phone records, video surveillance of his car in the area. Yeah, there's a pretty good chance that he was the killer. And they move forward then to trial. But until then, a lot of that won't come up. And then we would expect they're going to say Boise. They're going to say somewhere else. They don't want it in Moscow.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI. Taking a look at the Brian Koberger story. He did make a brief court appearance today in Moscow and has waived his right to the speedy trial. So it looks like we're going to roll into June before we get the preliminary hearing. And of course, that's when the prosecution will lay out in much more detail all the evidence they have. It's very circumstantial, since clearly there wasn't an eyewitness. Although, I guess the roommate that saw him in the hallway and did give some description with the bushy eyebrows, that was helpful. That's the really weird story of the surviving roommate, who not once, twice, I think three times, came out of her room because she was hearing unusual noises and may have passed Koberger in the hallway as he was trying to escape. But, you know, for a criminology student who seemed like he wanted to pull off the perfect crime, I mean, if this is the first time he murdered anybody, that explains a lot of his mistakes. You just heard Alex talk about the cell phone records. Apparently they can ping his phone to the area of the murders, and it looks like he even came back to the scene of the crime. Perhaps because he realized that he left the knife sheath behind. A tan leather knife sheath was found. They have not found the actual knife used in the murders, but he left the sheath behind, which may have fallen off wherever he had it clipped to his belt or something like that. And they did identify male DNA on the button clasp, which was linked to Koberger. So I see the defense explain that one away. And as we've mentioned many times on the show, there's just video everywhere you go now. It's hard to escape, and that's where they picked up the white Hyundai Elantra that he was driving, that they were eventually able to track through all the registrations. They were able to track the possibility. You know, you put that together with the cell phone records, and then eventually they did all the investigating with the DNA through the family tree and his father and the trash. Yeah, some say he made a mistake. He should have ditched that getaway car as soon as possible, even though they could still have traced a Hyundai Elantra to him. But there's also a report that he did talk to a neighbor after the murders in the state of Washington about the Idaho murders and said something like, "I believe it was a crime of passion, but they don't have much." Well, little did we know. I mean, that's one of the bigger stories of this case, that the Moscow police FBI, everybody else involved in this made us all think they didn't have a lot and that they were perhaps incredibly incompetent or there just wasn't much to go on, whereas they were pretty quickly onto this creep through their processes. It was probably painstaking to track the car and then to track the DNA, but they certainly were on this guy's case, and of course they were surveilling him for some time before they arrested him. So he did a horrible job of trying to get away with the perfect murder, if that's what he was trying to do. All right, coming up next, you'll have a chance at $1,000. We will reveal a keyword. You follow the instructions, and maybe you'll win. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Coming up after 3:30, well, in years past, we've actually gone up to the Antelope Valley, up to the desert, because sex offenders were being dumped there. L.A. County, L.A., the city of Los Angeles, and the county often uses that as a dumping ground. Remember the pillowcase rapist got put up there in a home, and the people up there don't like it. Why are we the dumping ground? Well, you got more room out here, and you got less people to complain about it. What about homeless people coming up there from the city of L.A.? Lancaster made a move with a motion, and the latest city council is Palmdale, opposing Los Angeles moving the homeless up there, maybe in a mental health facility or some other type of housing. We'll talk about this with a Palmdale City Council member after the news at 3:30, but don't dump on us with your homeless problem. Speaking of which, we mentioned yesterday the story of a man in San Francisco by the name of Collier Gwynn. He owns an art gallery, and boy, here's a video that went viral, because it turns out that a guy that runs a bakery across the street whipped out his cell phone, and it showed Collier Gwynn hosing down a homeless woman on the sidewalk. And of course, without any other information, the world was aghast, which is why the video went viral. This poor old woman being attacked with a hose. Well, you dig a little deeper into the story, and you find out that Collier Gwynn was quite familiar with this woman. Apparently, she's been hanging around on the sidewalk there for some time. But, you know, the update to the story is that the police are investigating this. So is the San Francisco Attorney's Office. They're investigating this as, like, some kind of assault. Assault with water. She had to be hospitalized, but that's because she has mental health problems. And here's another kicker. We now know her name. The homeless woman is Q. Yeah, that's all we get, is a letter. Q was nowhere to be found yesterday afternoon, by which point the glass door of the art gallery had been smashed. A board placed over the hole as a police car lingered outside. I understand that there is frustration, according to the police chief, Bill Scott, and there's an impulse to act. Right now, what we need is civility. I think some people, and I'm surprised this happened in San Francisco, are beyond that. And hosing somebody down isn't like you smashed them with a baseball bat or shot them with a gun or stabbed them with a knife. Dear Lord, they're acting like this is like the worst, most horrible thing that could ever happen. Gwynn told the Chronicle in San Francisco, this built up over time. She would turn over garbage cans. She would leave her possessions on the sidewalk. She was occasionally belligerent. She provoked him by refusing to move because he was trying to clean the sidewalk from her and everybody else's filth. I mean, we're talking about a city that has a crap app, literally, where you can find out where the worst spots are in San Francisco for human feces on the sidewalk. So he's just trying to do his part by protecting his one little spot of sanity outside his art gallery and cleaning it up. And we got this crazy woman constantly acting belligerent. So it says that apparently she was known to drift around, if you know the neighborhoods of San Francisco, North Beach and the Financial District. Doesn't seem to be hanging out with anybody. She survived by eating restaurant handouts, sleeping in doorways. Everybody's aware of who she is. We've been trying to get her the services that she needs. Oh, and here, finally, comes a quote of sanity. The reality is she needs conservatorship. And that's the word that I've been repeating on the show time and time again. The rules on conservatorship are so tight that it's impossible in many cases to use them. But, you know, in theory, it's someone who cannot take care of the basics for themselves. And I think living in garbage in your own feces in the street and acting belligerent and screaming out in tongues, I think is how Gwynne put it, that she doesn't make any sense, is somebody who needs conservatorship. This is the process of forcing people who suffer from severe mental illness into psychiatric treatment or placing them in the care of a guardian. But apparently the burden of proof is extremely high. California law allows a court-appointed conservator to compel care only if someone's, and the term they use is gravely disabled. You know, half the homeless people I see in their filth in L.A. and other parts, to me, they look gravely disabled. I mean, by definition, if you're living outside like that, you're gravely disabled. But, oh no, the bar is much higher. Critics warn that those who are conserved can be stripped of their civil rights, with authorities and caregivers often failing to pursue less invasive options. Well, it seems like nobody's pursuing any options. This woman's been wandering around that city for some time now, and this guy simply asked her to move, and she wouldn't. So he gave her a nudge with a hose, right? It's because the whole history of hoses and people just overreacted to this. Jennifer Friedenbach, who's executive director of the Coalition on Homelessness. That's right, the Homeless Industrial Complex. She actually agreed the city's conservatorship process is too cumbersome. But she also says the city lacks mental health services, including housing for people whose erratic behavior might prevent them from congregating with others in a group shelter. That's another thing. You take them to a shelter, they don't want to be there either because they're whacked out of their minds. Somebody else is around them. They don't want to be together, this crowd of people. She said a typical pattern is that someone has manageable mental health symptoms, and then they're homeless for a period of time, and then because of the trauma of being homeless, their symptoms become debilitating. Well, yeah, and that's when you need conservatorship. You get this woman into a place where it's warmer and where she can get some sort of drugs and mental health treatment. Why is that so impossible? Oh, because of their civil rights. And as we mentioned on this show many times before, this goes back to people believing, oh, we're going to house them in horrible mental institutions, right? It's going to be one flew over the cuckoo's nest all over again, and it's going to be terrible, and nobody will care about them. Clearly, there's a large infrastructure of people who do care about them. Make sure that that doesn't happen. That's all I ask. All right, when I come back, we'll talk to a Palmdale City Council member who says, L.A., don't dumb your homeless up here. The new mayor, Karen Bass, apparently said a few things during her mayoral campaign that there might be room up in the desert of Los Angeles County and Palmdale and Lancaster for perhaps the homeless people to get the treatment that they need. And they're saying, you've already dumped sex offenders up here. You're going to be dumping homeless people, too. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. John's got a day off. He'll be back tomorrow. Well, we've talked a lot about homelessness, particularly in L.A. County and L.A. City. We have a new mayor, Karen Bass. She's got this Inside Safe initiative. She says they're going to be going out there with the troublesome encampments and getting the homeless people off the streets and into some kind of shelter. It's usually hotel rooms, from what we understand. We've been watching a couple of projects, one of them in Venice, that they've been working on for some time, where they claim they've taken dozens of homeless people out of their encampments and into some type of shelter. She's promising just, I guess, a more aggressive approach to the same situation, as outreach people go there and talk to them and figure out what they need and where they can send them. But anyway, when she was running for mayor, she talked a bit about where there could be a place for homeless people. And it was implied, or maybe she said it directly, we'll find out now when we talk to a Palmdale City Council member, that maybe homeless people might be sent up to the Antelope Valley, the desert, places like Palmdale and Lancaster, where there might be some mental health facility that can treat them. It's all part of L.A. County, so something like that could, I guess, be worked out. We're now going to talk to Austin Bishop, City Council member in District 1 for Palmdale, because they passed a resolution saying, don't do that. Well, we'll find out the details. Welcome to the John and Ken Show, Austin. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, so Tell me what the basis for you guys addressing this issue was. What did Karen Bass say or imply? Or,
well, yeah, I think originally the discussion started when she first said that she wanted to move people up here, but people in LA don't really understand what the climate is like up here in the desert. The winters are extremely cold and summers are extremely hot, to where it could actually be deadly to be living outside during these conditions. Just last night, it was, I believe, in the 30s.
Right. Anything specific, though, that she said about, because I remember this, too. It came up in an article that maybe this is a place where we could put them in some sort of mental health facilities. Like, the county is severely lacking with anything to do with treating people for mental health problems. And maybe she was just throwing something out there that might be a place where we could build something.
It sounded like it, because I haven't seen anything substantial that would allow for that as far as facilities or even in the budget, or haven't heard any kind of discussions about any possible solutions. So some of it might be political promises. That's from what I've seen. It just doesn't seem to be any real solution there, other than just saying, like, hey, we've got empty space out there.
Yeah.
And let's stick them out there.
So the resolution said that you're opposed to her using emergency powers to create a homeless village in the Palmdale area. Is that what it specifically says?
Yeah, and, you know, the council, we actually didn't pass anything yesterday.
Uh-huh.
We are still working on crafting the language. The council is still figuring out a way of how do we want to present this. You know,
oh, well, tell that to City News, because they put that you voted unanimously on a resolution. I guess not, huh?
No. No, and then I just double-checked with our city manager before even getting on the phone, because I was quite positive that we didn't, because during the meeting, a lot of us were trying to craft the language of how do we want to address this? Do we want to get very aggressive, or do we want to come in with more of a soft hand approach and show that, like, look, we want the problem to have resolution just like anyone else, but how do we want to present it and say it? So I think we're all in agreement of how we feel about the situation, but just not how we want to sell it, so to speak, or how we want to declare it, if that makes any sense.
Have you had any communication with Bass's office about any ideas along the lines of taking the homeless from LA to Palmdale, or any kind of discussions?
I personally haven't. But I know some of my colleagues on council have, and they have made it very clear that she has no intention to do that, from what they're saying.
Her office or her directly said they have no intention of taking homeless people from L.A. to Palmdale?
From what I was told, like, her directly said she had no intention of doing that.
Right. Well, so, I mean, one of the reasons we're following this story is we know from the history here that often the county ends up dumping, like, sex offenders up there in the desert into houses. Palmdale and Lancaster are known places for these guys that get released from prison for offenses like sexual assault, and they end up putting them in places in your communities.
Yeah, there's just one that was put in Little Rock, and they call them violent sexual predators. That was put in Little Rock, and I think the guy was actually from a different county. He came from San Diego, I believe, and we fought against it so hard. You know, a lot of myself and my colleagues went out to schools and neighborhoods. We put signs up. We contacted our state legislators and everyone we could and begged them, please don't put this man out here. And sure enough, they did.
Well, you guys probably have your own homeless situation with people there. I don't see why you would have to be a place where L.A. could move some of their homeless people there.
Yeah, every area has its issues. We're not immune to it. It's just the fact that we, you know, being a smaller city, we only have a certain amount of resources to deal with it, unlike a major city that has a ton of resources. So it's just, you know, we don't have any problem taking care of what we have here, but we're already getting shorted on tax revenue and resources and our fair share, our fair shake. And I think anybody that lives out here can see that and understand that. So to add more on top of that is just making the problem worse.
So you didn't pass a resolution, but you are working on something.
We're working on something. It's either going to come back at the next meeting or the meeting after. for the way, you know, for the way we're going to present it.
Right.
But either way, I mean, we're all in agreement that we don't want this to happen. We don't want anybody coming out here and being relocated out here. It's just, we can barely handle what we have. I mean, it's...
Yeah. If it did, it would probably come through the county. I guess you have Supervisor Barger. Isn't she your L.A. County Supervisor?
Yes. Yeah, she is. And she's doing a good job helping us, you know, with the representation and all that. I mean, it's an uphill battle no matter what we do. But the fact of the matter is that we need to start talking real solutions here and just not shifting these people around like they're inventory. Because that's just, it's really making the problem a lot worse when you start doing that, because areas get their funding based on the amount of homeless they have. So if they're going to move them around, they're going to say, oh, this area has this much, they're only going to get this much funding. So we're only getting a little bit of funding based on the fact that we had a low numbers being reported to Lawa, or Lhasa.
Lhasa, yeah.
Yeah, Lhasa. And if they're shipping them up here, we're still getting the same amount of funding. With more people, we're going to have to keep helping. And it's just not, it's not sustainable. And what really, what was the breaking point for me, so to speak, because right before Christmas, we were going to do a state of, you know, the same thing, the state of emergency, or we're going to do the resolution, the posing and all that. The council decided not to. Mm-hmm. We wanted to see what this, what it did. We wanted to really get a better understanding of what declaring it does. Even seeing how it's more of just a political stance saying like, hey, even if this isn't going to do anything right now, we're taking a stand against this.
Oh, yeah. You have to do that. So yeah. Far, it looks like she's putting people in hotel rooms, and I haven't heard anything about the Antelope Valley, but we'll keep an eye on that. Well, thanks for talking to me, Austin. I appreciate it.
There's one more thing I wanted to say.
Yeah.
So the reason it came back, because December, we thought we were good. The reason I requested this come back to this meeting is because over the holidays, we had a person show up in the Antelope Valley that has no ties to the Antelope Valley, break into City Hall, an unhoused person, during Christmas, because it's cold outside, they broke into City Hall, and they lit the Christmas tree on fire to stay warm.
Jeez.
They burnt down the Chimbole ballroom. The fire sprinklers went off and damaged a significant portion of the building. A person that we can't figure out what they're doing out here. So we know with that, they're getting up here somehow, most likely the Metrolink, because the Metrolink is only a half mile away from City Hall.
Yeah, that'll do it. All right, I just got to go. But I appreciate your talking to me, Austin. I'm just out of time. But we'll keep an eye on this. We may have you back on if we see how this progresses.
Okay. Yeah,
all right, that's Austin Bishop. He's a city councilman, District 1 in Palmdale. And they want to send a message that Los Angeles' homelessness should not be sent to the Antelope Valley. Lancaster already took an action to say, we oppose this. You're not going to import your problems up here. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. We're now on from 1 to 4 p.m. And if you cannot hear the show live, then you can just pick it up through the iHeartRadio app or the website, KFIAM640.com, the podcast. Let's talk about the story that, of course, making headlines all day long, giving people that cover this kind of crap the vapors. And we, more classified documents were found in possession of old Joe Biden. Well, in his garage. I better check my storage shed. I probably have some, I think we all probably have some federal classified documents. And of course, the humor of all this is that they're chasing after Trump for having classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. But it turns out this is the second batch of documents found in Biden, some old office he used after he was done being vice president, had some documents, and now in his garage, where apparently he said, because I keep my valuable old Corvette in there, you know, a classic car, and it's locked, I mean, what was the risk? Pete Ducey from Fox News had a back and forth with Biden about this subject.
Nothing beyond our capacity if we work together. So God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
Mr. President, Mr. President, thank you, Mr. President.
Okay.
Classified material next to your Corvette. What were you thinking?
Let me, I'm going to get a chance to speak on all this, God willing, soon. But as I said earlier this week, people, and by the way, my Corvette's in a locked garage. Okay. So it's not like they're sitting out in the street.
So
at any rate,
it was in a locked garage.
Yes, as well as my Corvette. But as I said earlier this week, people know I take classified documents and classified material seriously. I also said we're cooperating fully and completely with the Justice Department's review. As part of that process, my lawyer has reviewed other places where documents in my, from my time as vice president were stored, and they finished the review last night. They discovered a small number of documents of classified markings in storage areas and file cabinets in my home and my personal library. This was done in the case of the Biden Penn, done in the case of the Biden Penn Center. The Department of Justice was immediately, the Department of Justice was immediately notified, and the lawyers arranged for the Department of Justice to take possession of the document. So you're going to see, we're going to see all this unfold. I'm confident.
Wait a minute.
Thank you very much.
I'm leaving. His Attorney General Merrick Garland then appointed some guy named Robert Herr as special counsel to investigate all the classified documents. It's a real lot of hoopla about nonsense. All right, Tim Conway Jr.
Hey now, hey now.
There he is.
Hey, you know what, Ken? I bet you have a garage for your car. Is that true?
I do.
Okay. How many times over the last 10 years have you turned back and gone back to your home to see if you actually shut the garage door? Probably like, I don't know, 10 times a year I do it.
Probably it happens, yes.
Yeah, right. And also...
Except, Tim, I have an app.
Oh, you have the app. So does Crozier. Crozier has
so
the app.
So it says door closed. I don't have to go back or look back.
Okay. I bet that the Bidens don't have that app.
That's a good bet, yes. Okay.
I would bet they don't. Plus, it's the least secure space in your home. There's no alarm on the garage door,
that
I imagine.
That is true. Yes, it is.
And right. Anyone can get in there.
I just saw a story today. There was a theft out of somebody's garage down the street from me.
We've had theft in our garage. Because you go to shut the garage door and you leave before it totally closes. Then a stray cat runs between the beam and it opens again. And then you come back on Monday and it's open. Been open all weekend.
So. They stole your stash, huh?
Yes, they stole it. But look, if you could steal everything in my house, you get about
$2,500. $25,
yeah. I can't spend any money on myself. Anybody else, I can, but not me. Corbin Carson's coming on tonight. That guy's great. He'll talk to us about the Anaheim Bulldozers, a seedy motel. And we'll ask him why that happened. Plus, we have Dean Sharp is coming on with us.
Oh, Dean Sharp. That's great.
Yeah, he's the best. And an L.A. Times writer who is pretty good, right? Jamie Ding. She wrote an article that shares her findings with job scammers. And Dana, who is one of our producers, nearly got scammed when she went to apply for a job. I think it happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Look, I reverse scammed. I scammed KFI into giving me a job.
Yeah, I know. So, look at that. How many years has this lasted, too?
You know what? It was 13 years 2 days ago.
Wow.
Do you believe that?
That's longer than you were at the FM station, right?
Yeah, I was there 12 years. Yeah,
that's
12 years there.
Just barely, right?
And 13 here. But
well, you've really kept this going somehow.
You know what? I don't change stories. I just change audiences.
Ding dong.
Yeah. How long have you guys been here now?
We don't like to talk about that too long. Way too long. Then you're talking senior citizen. All right, John will be back tomorrow. Ding dong. KFI AM 640 live everywhere. The iHeartRadio app. Michael Crozier has the news now.
Go.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.